live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode number 23 of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer, your host, and also with me in the studio here today is Matt Elliott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing terrific. Thank God it's Friday. It's a day after what we normally do our podcast.
But TGIF.
Oh, absolutely.
And Brandon Brophy is joining us here today. How you doing, Brandon?
Good. Brent, how are you?
Okay. And first thing today, we wanted to jump into a post that Brandon had put out on our blog, blog.listtrack.com. And Brandon, why don't you tell us a little bit about your inactive subscriber blog post?
Sure. So it was inspired by a ESPC call that I was on Wednesday afternoon that involved the Yahoo spam czar. I'm doing air quotes while I say that. Mark Risher, who answered just a bunch of questions and in general gave a great overview of how their anti-spam policies work. And one of the things that came out of it was that engagement is becoming more and more important in the deliverability sector. And the specific examples he gave were things like they can monitor the true open rate. They don't need our little tracking image to know that somebody opened.
Sure.
And if people are opening it, they're going to consider you a more trustworthy sender. And if they're not, less trustworthy. Also, if they're taking the messages and deleting them before even opening them, throwing them right into the trash, they're counting that as a bad sign. So all the people, I mean, I do it with my Gmail account every week. I go in and delete 250 messages that have stacked up in the past week because I actually read them in Outlook. And now I wonder if I'm hurting people by doing that.
That's interesting. It's good to hear that that's actually happening. I mean,
there's been a lot of especially from the source, you know.
Yeah.
And it was not just a rumor.
Right. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how that's been needed. You know, what's the missing element? You have the report a spam button. You have, you know, blacklists and a lot of other things. But it's really been, you know, the buzz for in the industry for the past couple of years is how much the subscriber is in control of the deliverability now and in control of the content. And it's good to hear that Yahoo's doing that. It's and actually telling, you know, the community that they're doing that and not just doing it and then wondering, you know, leaving people out there wondering why their mail's not getting delivered. At least they're making that clear. And so hopefully the marketers that are listening to this podcast, you know, this is being a bit of a eye-opener, and Brandon's blog talks about this. You know, what do you need to do as an email marketer then to make sure that you are engaging your customers and not just, you know, blasting them with email campaign after email campaign that's not targeted or relevant? And so it's a really great thing to hear, Brandon.
Yeah, not treating them just like a number, you know, healthcare system problems and all.
Yeah, a question for you here, Brandon. One of the things you talk about here is a bullet of inconsistencies in the subject line, i.e. personalization. So they're actually looking for differences in the subject line. So if something, I mean, could it actually penalize you to do personalization? Is that what they're saying?
In the subject line, they're saying that's a spam-like concept and all sorts of consistencies were things that he talked about that are good. Keeping your subject line static, making sure that the from address coming out of an IP address is the same all the time or most of the time, not changing that up. And then one that should be known, and if it's not, hopefully another eye-opener, is volume. So on Monday you send Yahoo 25,000 messages. On Tuesday they don't want to see more than 30,000, or they're considering you doing, you know, some sort of bad practice, increasing that list size so much in the course of a day.
Is that algorithmic? I mean, they're not just looking at...
He wouldn't go into that.
Like 5,000 isn't the cutoff number.
He wouldn't give you the special sauce, Brandon?
No, exactly. No Coke serum secret right there.
I mean, that's usually the way. Anytime you have anything like this, you have kind of a points-based system. It's just you don't know what those calculations actually are going on behind the scenes, what the actual algorithm is. So I wouldn't say, you know, don't personalize your messages.
Right.
But when you kind of add up a couple of these things together, you don't want to have kind of a trifecta, you know.
Try and think of it weighted. So some of the things are going to cost you. And if you add up five or six of them, you know, that'll really cost you. If you do one or two of the things, probably not an issue.
The consistent from address really makes a lot of sense. And a lot of marketers should be listening to that. And most of the marketers that I follow and I work with do that. And the ones that don't are typically trying to, you know, not cover their tracks, but maybe, you know, rebrand themselves a little too often. And so definitely that kind of consistency. I find it interesting, you know, that's actually been a debate for a while now in the industry about the personalization of the subject line. And it's A, is it effective? And B, is it spam-like? And, you know, and then there's always C, the privacy concerns. You know, does the recipient know that you know who they are? And if you're telling them that you know who they are, if they didn't know that to begin with, they think that there's something up on the privacy side. So a lot of tests have been done on that. I would suggest to, you know, our listeners, you know, continue to test that idea. You know, continue to test, does personalization work for you in the subject line or not? And if it doesn't, you know, why do it? So I think Yahoo's giving us a reason why not to do it if that's going to be one of those negative factors.
And you also always have good mail and return path sender score certification, both certification services there that can also help in those situations with your deliverability.
Yeah. Did he happen to go into that at all on reputation services, such as, you know, and accreditation services, as to does sending your mail certified or accredited trump some of these other things that they're putting in place?
He didn't at all. In fact, I wish I had thought of that to ask during the question segment, because we got a good 20 minutes to really grill him, and there was a lot of good questions there, but that one didn't actually come up, considering they're on both of the accreditation fronts. The only other kind of things that he did go into were the other factors. So obviously, you'd mentioned earlier, Matt, you know, people who are hitting the "this is spam" button, but for people who do end up in the junk folder because of reputation issues, ways to get out. And something I suggest pretty often is send to your active members, because people who are hitting the "this is not spam" button or people who are opening it is impacting your future deliverability in a positive way.
And I know at the last MOG meeting that they had talked, Yahoo was one of the ones spearheading or involved in the rating of the content of the "this is not spam." You know, this is legitimate mail, you know, and I know there was a blog post out there recently from Lauren McDonald talking about the same thing. You know, why isn't the industry embracing that more? And, you know, everything's focused on the negative side. Why don't you give the legitimate marketers a chance to, you know, build up their reputation a little bit more easily? And I think that's centered around kind of that whole deal with the Gmail, the implementation that Gmail is doing with the list unsubscribe functionality and how they're handling the "this is spam" functionality now. And, you know, that spurred more comments and conversation in this space about, you know, why aren't they providing a tool to help you build a positive reputation instead of always just looking at the negative?
Well, ListTrack has also released a new study on shopping cart abandonment. And Brandon, you were also very involved in doing the research here, looking at the Internet Retailer 500 list and seeing what kind of shopping cart abandonment programs are out there, and kind of looking at all of the different ways that shopping cart abandonment emails are being produced. Now, you want to tell us a little bit more about that, Brandon?
Sure. So the whole idea was we wanted to be able to know what to tell everybody when they asked the question, how long should I wait before I would reach back out to somebody on an abandoned cart email? And Brent and myself and Carrie Pals, one of the other account managers, had sort of molded over and had little private conversations. And Brent was saying, well, I'd say 15 minutes to an hour. And I said, well, so long as it's
more 24 hours is really what I my original there, Brandon. But
and that was just sort of like, you know, one person said one thing, another said another. So we went out to get the data to see what it really was. And what came back was that it takes most marketers that are doing it, which was just over 10% that actually were out of that 500. They were taking 3 days, just over 3 days, to actually get back to people in a reach out.
Yeah, 3 days, 3 hours, and 6 minutes. It looks like the exact
average. Yeah, I do
average,
like calculations.
Yeah. Brandon likes to do these.
I like
calculations
numbers
here. But yeah, so you can actually look at that study out on our website, out at listtrack.com under our resources area. You can take a look at that shopping cart abandonment study and look at all the different statistics there. There's been some commotion on this. Some tweets I've seen so far this morning, actually, on whether or not people agree with you know, the suggested 24 hours for shopping cart abandonment, or what that actual kind of best practice time would be.
Well, what's interesting about the study is it's really just a factual collection right now of who is doing what. And then we threw some hypotheses out there, but really the study itself is just an analysis of what we're seeing, you know, that Retailer 500 doing. And what is just kind of eye-opening is to the inconsistencies between the timing of when the email's going out, whether or not there's an offer, and whether or not the shopping cart contents are actually included in the email. I mean, there were a lot of differences in how the abandonment emails came through when they did come through. And so I think first and foremost, the information we gleaned out of that was there's not a lot of consistency in the industry. There are some things that we think would be good practices, and we're hypothesizing that they would be. But the next step is to launch another study and dive a little bit deeper into the actual metrics and try to get a better understanding as, and work with some retailers and develop some testing programs on it and find out what is the optimal time to reach back to somebody who's abandoned a cart. Do you need to incentivize it or not? Does it depend on your brand? Does it, you know, does it depend on the value of the shopping cart to even make it worthwhile to incentivize? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that. And I know we plan on diving deeper into that in some further studies.
I was really surprised that out of all of the shopping carts abandoned in this study, that only about 10% of those actually sent shopping cart abandonment emails. That was a little bit surprising, especially when you're talking about the Internet Retailer 500 list. It was kind of an interesting find there, and you know, a lot of work to be done, even by all the top guys in the space.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, I'd like to see some interviews with some internet marketers and ask them, why don't you, you know, find out those that don't do one and find out why. Why aren't you running a program like that? Is the technology not available? Is there a cost basis reason behind it? Are you finding that you're not going to get the return? Or did you at one time run one and it just didn't give you any return and it's not worth it to you anymore? You know, I think the technology is a big piece of it. You know, can they actually tie that back into, you know, the metric, the analytics from the website? Can they actually find out who is abandoning the cart, and can they actually get that into a marketing follow-up? And, you know, I would really like to interview some of them and understand what their thought process is. I mean, there's a lot of speculation out there as to why people are not doing it, and we just need to see a little bit more concrete information, and that's really what the goal is behind all this.
All right. Well, anyone out there, you can check out that study out on our website, listtrack.com. We also have another webinar coming up here, August 19th from 1 to 2. Jason Falls, he's the president and co-founder of Social Media Club Louisville. And the title of that webinar is The Marketing of Unmarketing. And Jason's actually a very well-known speaker in the SEO space, so it'll be a very interesting webinar coming up here.
And being from Louisville, I'll have to see if he has a take on the Rick Pitino situation.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that webinar. And then the follow-up, and then 2 weeks from that, we have another great webinar. Which one's that there again, Brent?
With Jim Stern on September 2nd from 1 to 2.
Okay, great.
And webinar series continues. Again, we talked about this on the last show, but we had a really great webinar with David Meerman Scott. Wonderful webinar. And if you missed that one, again, said this last show, but highly recommend checking that recording out. It was called Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Tell Your Stories. Great webinar there. So I'd definitely check that one out if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, what made that webinar, I think, really so great and worthwhile listening to is it's not just a regurgitation of the same stuff that you hear all the time in the space. It really is some, you could use the word groundbreaking, but it's definitely a different way of thinking and a different angle on all this. And it's, if you're looking for some fresh ideas, it's definitely a webinar to check out.
And of course, you can always continue to follow us on Twitter and our ListTrack account, or become a fan on Facebook. Or you can always email us at podcast@listtrack.com with any of your questions, things you'd like to hear us talk about in the show. And we'd love to hear from you. So I think that's about all we have for today.
Don't forget our open house.
Ah, we do have an open house next week. We've been talking about this here in the show, but we are in our new building, and we have our official kind of celebration. This is coming up next Wednesday,
August 19th, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. And if you've never seen a big giant pair of scissors. we're having an official ribbon cutting with the mayor of Lititz, and there's going to be a big giant pair of scissors. That's all I'm looking forward to. No, but seriously, we're going to have some interactive labs and demos of our product.
Yeah, we'll be demoing Listrak Conductor. So if you are in the area and you'd like to kind of take an in-depth look, I'll actually be running that for most of the evening.
And don't forget the wine and hors d'oeuvres. So if you're looking for a quick little drink or snack, it's another place to stop by to do that.
All right. Well, thanks, Brandon, for your blog post here, your information on the blog.
You got it, Brent. Great job. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you all next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Bye.